Andrew, if you could liven it up for the next three services a bit, that would help. You know, I don't know about you when you look back on Christmas, but I cherish great memories of Christmas growing up. I remember being so excited with my siblings as we anticipated that day that took so long to come. We would start to get fired up probably about the end of November. And then somewhere around the 10th or 12th of December, Japanese oranges arrived in Vancouver. And they only came at Christmas time, and they came in wooden boxes. And we just couldn't wait for them to get there. I remember when, probably about the beginning of December, the Sears catalog would arrive. Do you remember that kind of a deal? And, we used to go through that thing so carefully and circle what we wanted. That thing was dog-eared by the time Christmas came. And we didn't, it was so long ago when I grew up that we didn't even have fridge magnets, but, we would pull out the pages that we wanted, and I don't know, we probably stuffed them in our dad's Bible because that's what he read all the time, and maybe he would hear God saying, "Get Dan a chemistry set," or something, but we would just be thrilled with all the toys and just anticipating what was going to happen. We had two traditions in my family that happened every Christmas. We would, on a probably night about the week before Christmas, we'd all pile in my dad's old Chrysler. There was five of us, and then my mom and dad, so seven. We'd all crowd in there, and it would be chaos. But the good thing in those old days was you didn't have to have seat belts. So we used to fight over who got to lay out in the back window, and it wasn't always peace on earth, but we saw a lot of Christmas lights around town. And then the big thing, though, for us was inevitably at some point we'd go downtown Vancouver. And we'd go to the Woodward store. And the Woodward store had a giant display window. And in that window, they had the most amazing Christmas scenes. They had snow. They had reindeer. They had gifts. They had Santa. They had music. They had lights. It was absolutely spectacular. And we would just stand there and stare through that window and get lost in a whole other world. I imagine you have memories too, and maybe traditions that you're starting now with your own family. And it's that time of year, isn't it, where there's just so much to see and so much to do and so many places to go that it's easy to forget the main thing about Christmas. Or maybe I should say the main person of Christmas, Jesus Christ. You know, this afternoon and tonight, all over the world, in many, many different countries and over 2,000 languages, people are gathering in settings like this, in buildings, in churches, in homes, to celebrate the birth of one single baby boy, Jesus Christ. 2,000 plus years later, we're still gathering to celebrate the birth of that little baby boy. What I'd like to do this afternoon, I'd like to give you a different window to look through in order to get what Christmas is all about. There's so many good things, but what I want you to see this afternoon is the main thing of Christmas. God's greatest gift to you and to me, his son, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to take a moment to read you, if you've never heard it before, it's a great story, the Christmas story, written by a man named Luke in Luke chapter 2. Listen to what he says about that night when that single baby boy was born that changed history. It says, "In the days when Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, that everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because, there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and women on whom his favor rests." I just want to tell you a little bit about that story and hopefully give you a different window to look through this Christmas when you try and get a hold of what Christmas is really all about. It's all about that baby that was born in Bethlehem just over 2,000 years ago, whose name was Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a little bit about who that baby was. It's interesting because the birth of that baby was absolutely unique, a very unique baby. The story's been told so many different ways and so many times, but this is what you need to know, that the angel said to Mary and to Joseph on different occasions that this child that would be born is actually Christ, the Lord. In other words, God in the flesh. That baby that lay in a manger was God himself as a vulnerable, helpless little baby. So that when you look into the face of Jesus, you were looking into the very face of God. When Mary bent down and kissed Jesus, she was kissing the face of God. That's what Christmas means. That's what the Bible says, that this person, Jesus, he was human, fully human, but fully God. What we celebrate at Christmas is this, that God came among us. He became one of us. That baby changed history. It was God visiting our planet. Why did he come? That would be a good question to ask. Well, the story says that he came to be a savior, but let me put it to you this way. He came in order to bring us back to God. See, here's the story. It's a great story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and you and me and everything else. And he created us so that we would know him, so that we would do life with him and have relationship with him. But somewhere along the way, every one of us kind of turns away from God and we do our own thing. And the Bible describes that as being, in one word, lost. Lost means that you have this sense deep down inside that you're just not connected where you need to be connected. You're just not in the right place, and you don't really know what to do about it. That's what it means to be lost. That's what happens when men and women, young and old, turn away from God and live as though God doesn't exist. They're lost. Well, Jesus came to bring us back to God. Now, let me give you an illustration of what lost is like. It was Christmas 1971, and my brother Ken and I were just kind of, you know, finishing off high school, and my dad, as a Christmas gift, decided that he would send us from Vancouver all the way to Chicago to this incredible youth conference that was happening in Chicago. I don't know if he wanted to get rid of us or he thought this would be a great gift, but what he decided to do was send us on a train, and there was a whole pile of kids from our area that were going by train from Vancouver all the way to Chicago. We got on the train in Vancouver, went to Seattle, then straight across the top of the states to Chicago. Now, because my dad was, I was going to say cheap, he wasn't cheap, but I mean, we had the cheap car, and we were told that this was our car on the train. We could sleep there, we would be served food there, but you couldn't leave that car. And that was okay until we got to Fargo, North Dakota, and we were bored. And I looked at Ken, my brother, he looked at me, and we thought, you know, it's getting late. When everybody's kind of falling asleep, let's go out. Let's find the dome car. Let's sit up there. And so we did. We got up to the dome car, and there was nobody up there. And I remember sitting up there hour after hour, just in the bright moonlight, just enjoying the landscape, and just never been on a train before, and now we're in the dome car. This is fantastic. Well, at some point, we both fell asleep. And that was okay. And when we woke up, the sun had risen and the train had stopped. I remember that. And I remember looking out and there was a city that I didn't recognize. We were obviously in some kind of train yard, lot, whatever they call them. We stretched a bit. And I remember Ken getting up and going to, and he just went to the front of the car and then he stopped like this. And he said, "Dan." I said, "What?" He said, "There's no train out there." I said, "Oh, oh." And I got up and I went and I looked out this way and I said, hey, Ken, there's no train out here either. And that was a bad day. I remember that. I remember that feeling. The first thought was, I wish I'd done what my dad had said. The second thought was, we are lost. We are in the wrong place and we have no idea what to do about it. That's what lost is. You're in the wrong place and you have no idea what to do about it. I'm so grateful that, about half an hour later, I guess they were just moving cars around and they came and joined us up and we carried on and it ended up being a good day. But I remember that feeling of lost. I'm not where I should be and I don't know how to get to where I should be. See, you might deep down in the core of your being resonate with that. That, you know, I just feel like I'm not exactly where I should be, and I tried everything, and I don't know how to get to where I should be. Well, God sent his son Jesus to get us to where we should be, to bring us back to God. The great thing about Jesus was that he grew up to be a man, and his mission in life, he said, was to give himself and his life as a as a ransom for many people. And what he meant by that was the day would come when he would actually die on a cross. And when he died on the cross, it was not about me, but about you kind of a death. Where it says in the Bible that when Jesus died on the cross, he took all of your sin and all of mine, and he paid for it in full. So that great wall, that barrier that separates from us from God could be obliterated, we could be forgiven, and we could come back to God through what Jesus did on the cross. Now, if he stayed dead, that would be not much of a story. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and he came back to life, and he lives today. And it's the greatest story ever told. And when you look at the birth of Jesus, what he did on the cross for you and for me, and the fact that he was raised from the dead, you get an incredible window into the heart of God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest gift you've ever been offered. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, all through this person, Jesus, who came about 2,000 years ago. Well, you might say, what difference does all that make, really? Well, if you think about the world that Jesus entered, it was marked by two things. One, hopelessness, and the second, fear. People's hearts were failing them for fear. They lacked proper income. They lacked proper resources to support their families. The political scene that they lived in was in turmoil, and they just didn't know what tomorrow would bring. And I thought about that. I thought, how like our world? I mean, on the macro level, I mean, maybe we live in a bubble here, but most of the world lives in great fear tonight, this afternoon. And maybe on the micro level of your life and your family, your heart's filled with fear. That was the world that Jesus entered. And then hopelessness, because there was just no way forward, no way out of it. And maybe you've lost hope because your marriage, your family's blown apart, or you've lost somebody this Christmas that was so significant to you, and they're just gone, and there's just that emptiness. Or you're just hopeless because you just don't know what it's all about and where it all ultimately leads to. Well, Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, and the first words from heaven to earth when he was born were those words, "Do not fear." Because he's taken away what separated you from God. Don't fear, because God will be with you. Don't fear, because you have a future and a hope. There's two things you need to know tonight, I think, and that would be this, that one, God is for you. God is for you. I love the place in the Bible where it says God didn't send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is for you tonight. And then secondly, God is with you. This is the incredible thing, that when you decide to do life with Jesus, he does it with you so that you never face anything alone again. You might still be dealing with family issues, with job issues, with health issues, with issues, but you have the greatest person that's ever walked the face of this earth to do life with you. He's got wisdom and counsel and strength and help and what you need to get through the next day. Well, this is how it becomes yours, and this is critical. Every gift that's being offered has to be received. God sent his son Jesus as a gift. And the way you receive it, the best way I can put it for you tonight is this. I keep saying tonight. It feels like it. I've been here for so long today already. This is the way you receive this gift. From the core of your being out, you just say yes, 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 yes. Yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I know that I'm lost. And yes, I want forgiveness of sins. And you just somehow from your heart, in any way you can, you just say to God, yes. And God who hears the heart will hear your heart. And, you know, when that happens, when somebody says yes, why, everything changes. There's hope. There's peace. There's a sense of being found, not lost. I mean, you still have to do life, but there's just this sense that, you know what? God's got a hold of me, and he started something in me, and he's going to finish it. And the best is always yet to come. So it's from the core of your being to say yes. You know, there might be some other people here tonight, and I remember every Christmas when I was in college, my folks moved from Vancouver to Victoria, and this time they didn't send me to Chicago. They sent me to Saskatchewan to go to college. And have you ever been to Saskatchewan? It's like, it's just forever. I see we have at least two Rough Rider fans here, but anyway, you know, it's just a whole lot of nothing forever. But there's a college in the middle of this place called Karenport near Moose Jaw, and that's where I was sent for 4 years. I did my time. And every Christmas, we would jump in the car, and we would drive straight through from Karenport to Victoria. We'd go through the day and the night in any kind of weather. And there was no Coquihalla Highway in those days at Kamloops, so we had to go down the Fraser Canyon, and that was a bit chaotic at times. Then we'd get to the ferry terminal at Tawasin. We'd wait for the ferry. We'd get on the ferry, and it would inevitably be very, very late at night when we got over to the other side. And we would drive the 40 minutes from the ferry into Victoria. And we'd turn onto Upper Terrace Drive where my parents lived. And it would be late at night, sometimes like the middle of the night, but the light would be on in the window. And the light would be on outside. And you know what it was saying? It was saying, we've been waiting for you. You're welcome here. And we can't wait till you get in here. Take your place at the table. You know, some of you, this isn't a new story. You've heard it. And at one point in your life, you said yes from the core of your being to Jesus Christ and everything he represents. But something happened and you just wandered a long way away. And now you sort of, you came in and you thought, well, you know, I'll watch from the fringes. And I'll listen from the outside to the story again. You know what you need to know? The light is on in God's house for you. And he's been waiting for you to come back. And you are welcome to come back. And all it takes for you tonight, again, is to say, yes, I want to come back. It's the greatest decision you would ever make. So I hope this Christmas, in the middle of everything we do and see and say and enjoy, that at some point, you remember that the main thing is Jesus Christ. And in our homes and in our hearts, we keep the main thing the main thing. If this is brand new to you and you've never heard this before, let me give you a place to pursue it. In the pews in which you're sitting, in front of you, there's Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, I just want to tell you, you can take the one that's there. Just take it. And when you go home this week, next week, whenever, open it up to a book in the Bible called Luke, and you'll read the story that I've told you tonight. And you'll read a lot more about Jesus, and it'll take you a lot further in discovering who this great person Jesus Christ was. But you're welcome to take that Bible home tonight and pursue that. We're so grateful that you've come. And I hope that this Christmas is the best ever in your family. I'm just going to say a prayer that God would help us to remember this stuff. And then we'll have a great song and opportunity to sing one more time. And then we'll head out and you can either finish your shopping or go home and have fun with your kids. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great day. We so look forward to Christmas Eve and to the joy that it represents in our lives. And thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. We have no idea where we'd be without him. We pray that he would be the main thing in our hearts and in our homes. And thank you, Father, for this window into your heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.